Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's gospel shows us a contrast between those who believe and those who refuse to believe. The former experience joy, while the latter are troubled. The former can see things in the light of the resurrection, while the latter remain in darkness. Consequently, while the former grow in knowledge, the latter fall deeper and deeper into error, even to the point of saying ridiculous things. The resurrection took place on the day after the Sabbath, and as the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, so the day of the resurrection is the eighth, in a way outside the world's cycle of 7 days. And yet the resurrection is something, so the resurrection in this sense is something which belongs to the world to come. The resurrection is something that comes at the end of the world, and yet it takes place in history. The light of the eighth day is present in the midst of history. And in the light of this day, the light of the resurrection, the meaning of the scriptures is revealed. On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter explained how the resurrection was foretold in the Old Testament. He cited several passages. Today we heard only the explanation of the first one, which is taken from Psalm 16. When David said, "You will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to undergo corruption." Of whom was he speaking? Not of himself, because he had been in the tomb for 1,000 years, and with all due respect to that holy man, it had to be acknowledged that by now his body had undergone corruption. St. Peter, instructed by Christ and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, teaches us that David spoke of Christ. But how could he have known about Christ 1,000 years before he was born? St. Peter gives us two reasons. The first is that he was a prophet. In fact, all Jews recognized that certain psalms contained prophecies, such as Psalm 2, which spoke of the Messiah. Furthermore, he knew about the Christ because God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, that is, the Messiah, and had communicated this to him through the prophet Nathan. So on the basis of the knowledge God gave him in these two ways, both enlightening him directly and speaking to him through prophets, David could well know that the Messiah, his descendant, would not remain in the grave, but instead rise again before his body corrupted, before the fourth day. Indeed, very few people understood the meaning of this prophecy before it was fulfilled. Not even the apostles understood that this was what it was talking about. But afterwards, in the light of the resurrection, they could see. And now St. Peter, that is now on Pentecost, St. Peter and the other apostles can at least bear witness to the fact of its fulfillment, can show how those words meant something that no one had guessed, but that in the light of their fulfillment is quite clear. However, they were not the first witnesses. The first witnesses were women. On the morning of Sunday, the day of the resurrection, the women went to the tomb to perfume Jesus' dead body, as was fitting for a respected figure. In this way they would somewhat repair for the dishonor, the disrespect that had been shown to Jesus by his torture and death. There had not been time to do this, to perfume the body before the Sabbath rest. However, when they arrived, they did not find him. An angel descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone that closed the tomb, and sat upon it. He opened the tomb to show that Jesus was no longer there. Before dawn, he had risen, Jesus, that is, and came out of the closed tomb, just as at his birth he had come out of the closed womb of his mother. The angel said to the women, "I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." The angel came from heaven, bearing the light of the eighth day, the light of the resurrection. The women, though not fully convinced, obeyed, bringing the message to the disciples. With Peter and John, they then returned, as we heard yesterday, and then once again they departed, and at this point Jesus rewarded the women's obedience by appearing to them. And so St. Matthew is compressing a series of events into a brief account. The angels' words were confirmed by their encounter with the risen Lord, whose light filled their souls, and so they believed, and believing, they experienced joy. Their feelings contrast with those of the soldiers and the leaders of the Jews, who did not want to believe. St. Augustine comments is that at the tomb such miracles happened that the soldiers themselves, who had come to stand guard, should have been witnesses. They'd seen an earthquake, they'd seen an angel open the tomb. Now, if only they had wanted to tell the truth, they should have been witnesses. But that same avarice which had enslaved the disciple who was a companion of Christ now also enslaved the soldiers who had guarded the tomb. Here we see one of the reasons why people lose the faith or don't accept it in the first place, the allure of the things of this world, especially money. The leaders of the Jews, on the other hand, were blinded by their pride and envy. They were unable to admit the superiority of Jesus and his teaching. They were afraid that they would lose their positions if Jesus became the head of the Jews. The story they invented to deny the resurrection is not very convincing, as St. Augustine pointed out. If the guards were asleep, what would they have been able to see? And if they didn't see anything, how can you call them as witnesses? But the leaders of the Jews became foolish because they had rejected the truth of the resurrection. Once you reject the truth, then you are doomed to live in error. Fearing the light of the eighth day, they took refuge in the darkness of error and made an absurd lie. So let us instead choose truth and faith, and let us welcome the light of the eighth day, so that we may know the joy that has no end. Praised be Jesus and Mary.